today's a special day. If you don't know, it's Star Wars Day. Because in the Star Wars movie series, they say, "May the Force be with you." And today is May the 4th. So in lieu of that, "May the 4th be with you." I know, I'm a nerd. I had to do it. It's very rare that I get to preach, especially on May the 4th, so. I took all the Star Wars quotes out of my sermon, but I had to get something in there. As we start off this sermon, I actually want to start with a game. This game's called Would You Rather. It's a pretty easy game to understand. The youth group actually owns two versions of this, and you basically get two choices, and you have to choose between those two choices. So I'll give you guys the opportunity. Like, the first choice will be your left hand, and the second choice will be your right hand, okay? So the first choice is, would you rather lounge on the couch or hike up a mountain? Okay, lounge on the couch, hike up the mountain. Okay, pretty easy one, okay. The next one is, would you rather eat a candy bar or take the time to cook a good meal? Eat a candy bar, good meal. Okay, good. Would you rather complain or gossip about a problem or try and solve it? Okay, get some honesty. Yep, complain or gossip, yep, try and solve it, okay. Would you rather save money or spend it? Save money, yep, spend money, okay, that's fair. Would you rather work hard for good grades, seniors, or enjoy senioritis? Both, okay, yeah, good job, Logan, yeah, okay. How about, would you rather stay stuck in the past or plan for the future? Stuck in the past, plan for the future. Okay, this next one you don't have to raise your hand for, but I can probably know most of the answer for it. Would you rather listen to what Jesus says about the narrow path or what the world says and take the wide highway? Because it comes down to really two choices. All the rest of those are really pretty easy to answer. But this one, there's a lot of people that struggle with answering this one. Because even in today, in 2025, there are a lot of religions, there's a lot of beliefs that it will lead people away from Christ, that are pursuing earthly pleasures like that new job, that new car, that new house, whatever might make you happy. But the reality is that, and I mean, for example, one of those faiths out there is called Universalism. And their belief is you can believe in whatever you want to believe, and as long as you're a good person, you'll end up wherever you want to end up or whatever you want to end up as. I, Sean Erickson, know people who actually worship nature and things that are just of this world and temporary. And that belief is one of just many that are on this wide highway. Let's take a look today, if you'll have your Bible, your smartphone, your tablet, about what Jesus says about this. Because we're looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, as we're continuing in the sermon series of Rock Solid, again, what Darren picked up from last week, and he's going to be continuing this next week. Jesus says here something that's really important in these two verses. These verses read, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate, period. The highway to hell is broad, and the gate is wide, for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow. The road is difficult. Only ever a few find it. Whew. Again, here we see that, similar to that Would You Rather game, there's two choices, right? This narrow path or, yeah, literally, the highway to hell. Any AC/DC fans out there? Yeah, at the song? Okay. Well, the premise of that song is like, we're all on this highway to hell and there's going to be a great party at the end of it. Yeah, how worldly and temporary. I mean, great theologian, right? AC/DC? Nah, but Jesus is pretty clear here. He uses this word only. Ah, man, that's kind of limiting, right? You can only have one piece of candy. Oh, man. You can only have one of those things. That point of only is singular, and it can't be refuted. The way to heaven is through Jesus only. You don't just sneak in. You don't accidentally find it. You can't break in to heaven. Jesus says there's only one path. One of the next descriptions we look at is the word wide here. It's like, okay, why is Jesus using this word highway? Like, why is this wide? Well, the reality is, it's like almost like in Boise. There's this huge 5-6-lane highway if you're trying to drive through there. Like, you really don't ever have a problem getting through that little part in Boise because there are so many cars and so many highway lanes to get you from one place to another. It's to accommodate as many people as possible, as many cars as possible, meant to allow as many in. I have my own story of going to Bible college. So in Utah, I knew that I could get to Bible college by just following the highway, right? I get in the left lane, and I follow I-84, and you get to Boise. It's pretty easy. Like, as long as you don't deviate from the highway, you get there. However, I applied that same logic to going home. You stay in the right lane, and you'll get there eventually. Well, if you look at that map, there's a flaw in my logic. Because there's also a flaw. There's these giant big signs, okay, that say, turn right to go to Ogden or Salt Lake. Do not keep going left. Yeah, you see where this is going, right? So I don't know what I was thinking. I probably was distracted about that cute girl I met in Bible college and was thinking about what she might be doing for her Christmas break. I decided to stay on the left lane. And this is where I was supposed to go. There's a tiny little town right there. I had to put it on the map because it doesn't really exist. Called American Falls. And it was about there when I realized I was lost. Because I missed those big signs. Again, the route I was supposed to take, but this is the route I ended up taking. I learned how to get to Utah a different way. It only added a couple more hours. The thing is, if people try to use this their salvation kind of like I do, and they just stick to the highway and pay, and ignore the signs and they ignore the exits, that's really what it's going to look like. If you just take the easy path, the left lane, and just stay on that path, yeah, it's going to come pretty easy. Even though there's these huge signs, I still missed it. You feel like there's a huge sign that God is real in this world, in your life? Somehow people still miss it? We'll see a reason why. Because the highway to hell is temporary, but it's going to be the easy route to take. It's full of temporary things that are meant to be pleasurable. But the idea is that Jesus says, you need to take that exit. You need to choose the narrow path that leads to God. Because Jesus is going to offer us a relationship with him and with God. Let's take a little bit of look at what this highway is described as first, and then we'll talk about the narrow path. This highway is going to look attractive. Okay? Everything on that highway says, oh, we are just so welcoming. We are just so tolerant. We're just so, fill in the blank, for 2025. We're just so all of this. And says, that's kind of attractive and tempting, but that's only temporary because, again, like just like looks or just like pleasures, like that candy bar, it's maybe attractive, but you'll probably regret it a little bit later. It's temporary. Satan also makes this highway look fulfilling, but it's not. He's going to make it look easy, because the reality is, it is. It is easy to stay in that left lane and not end up knowing where you're going. It's easy to stay in this left lane because, and on this highway, because you don't have to have a hard conversation with anybody, right? You don't have to go talk to somebody and challenge them on their faith, what they believe. You can take the Disney approach and just Hakuna Matata your way through life. Right? There's no worries. I don't have to worry about what I said, what other people said, because it all ends up. This type of life isn't fulfilling because, again, it's all temporary. If you watched Lion King, you understand that like the reality check has to come sometime. I like what Jillian Turcari has to say about this, because we talk about having these hard conversations with people, and Jillian Turcari has this quote, and she says, "People avoid uncomfortable conversations to keep the peace. But peace isn't the goal of a relationship. Love is. And when we love somebody, we have to have those hard conversations in service of that love." This goes back to Darren's series, again, we were talking about the Beatitude series, not just Darren's series, Jesus preached a sermon, and he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, not just those that keep the peace, peacemakers." So I have to ask you a question here. Did Jesus ever offend somebody with what he had to say? Yeah, let's take a look. In the reading of the Gospels, we found 78 examples of Christ offending someone. In the Gospels, there are 89 chapters. This means there's almost one offense per chapter. Again, this tally doesn't include many of the offensive analogies or even parables that Jesus said, or his offensive actions like cleansing the temple. If we were to count up all of those, we would have many more. Jesus wasn't afraid of having those uncomfortable conversations with people. But even as a result of those conversations, right, the next question I have to ask is, did everyone Jesus speak to immediately change their life and accept him? No? I'll tell you, for example, in my own life, I have a friend, his name is Duran. I had a conversation with him when I was 14, new Christian, and I was like, "Duran, you need Jesus." And he goes, "Sure, yeah, that's awesome. I'm just not done having fun yet." It's been 20 years. He's not done having fun yet. Jesus also spoke to a bunch of people, and they didn't immediately accept him. We're going to take a look at some of those people that he spoke to. The first one is coming up in actually a few chapters in our sermon series. It's the rich young ruler. If you're not familiar with the story, this guy has a lot of money, a lot of things. He comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, what do I need to do in order to be saved? What do I need to do?" Jesus is pretty clear. He says, "Give away all your things and follow me." Whew. Like, but I have so many things. The rich young ruler says, "I can't." He says, he turns and he walks away. The reality is this rich young ruler built all this temporary things. And those temporary things provided him security. He had the house. He had the stuff. And it was, that's what my security, that's where my protection, that's where my hope lies, just in case. And he turned and walked away. Let's take a look at another example. These are the Pharisees and Sadducees, the people that had Jesus killed. These are the people who were supposed to know the truth, who were teaching the truth, who were supposed to be aware of these things that are happening. Jesus even told them many times, haven't you read? Didn't you hear? Like, this is the truth. The reality is their pride, their ego, their job is what they wanted to keep. They had built up this life that was temporary and fulfilling and comfortable. And they couldn't see the Messiah straight in front of them. You see, the next one is Pilate. Okay, this is right before Jesus died. Like probably the last conversation he can have with somebody to actually talk about the faith besides the robber on the cross. Pilate had him arrested, and this is, you know, again, through his trial, if you want to call it that. Pilate comes to Jesus and says, "What is truth?" Because he wants to know, right? He's supposed to be this governor, this really smart person. He says, "What is truth?" But the reality is, even when Pilate brings Jesus back out and says, "I find no fault in this man," then he asks the crowd, "What do you want me to do with him? Where's your spine at, Pilate?" Then he ends up saying, "You know, these Pharisees and Sadducees are really mad at me. Rome's really mad at me. I really want to keep my job. So I'm going to hand Jesus over." Again, temporary. They had this version of their life that they wouldn't want to give up. Kept on their temporary things that were not on the narrow path. Now the reality is, Jesus says that narrow path is going to be difficult. "Sean, you're not selling me on this narrow path. Like, what's going on here? Like, the first word is difficult?" Yeah, It's going to be messy. It's going to be a path that some just don't want to take. Did anyone ever tell you that being a Christian was easy? Spoilers, it's not. No, in fact, he actually describes it the opposite way. He describes this path as narrow and difficult. What does that mean? We take a look at these people who were unwilling to give up their temporary things in order to follow Christ. Jesus is saying, I need you to give up those temporary things. Like, that's what he's asking. That's what the difficult thing is. He's asking you, what about that job? What about that house? What about that boyfriend or girlfriend who doesn't believe? Because on this road, yeah, we must have those loving conversations where we say, what do you believe and why? Only by having those conversations, by showing that love, by showing that you care about those people, is where we're going to have people understand what the narrow road looks like. And yeah, I'll be honest, you can lose friendships, you can lose relationships, you could lose that job promotion. And many of you have. Many of you who are sitting here have chosen that narrow path, have given up stuff. That's what Jesus is saying. We have to have those conversations with those people, because really Jesus is asking us to an eternal relationship. An eternal relationship, not temporary pleasures. In fact, Darren's going to cover some of these next verses in Matthew in the next sermon series about, that God's inviting us into something that's going to last forever, a relationship with him. And he's aware it's going to cost us some things. Yeah, maybe it's actually financial money. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a family member. But we can take heart from some of the encouragement that Jesus says, because he doesn't just say, yep, it's difficult, okay, bye. He actually has lots of conversations with his disciples, with people. This is actually further in Matthew just a little bit. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find the rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Another one we see is in the book of John. He actually says, I have told you all this so that you may have, there's that word peace again, peace in me. Here on this earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, temporary. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Because even the people that Jesus spent the most time with, his disciples, still had that question of like, we don't know exactly what Jesus is doing. Like, in fact, there's a conversation in John 14 between Jesus and Thomas. And Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. Because if this weren't so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And again, like Thomas, he's like, we have no idea where you're going. Like, so how can we know the way? Give us the sign, the big one on the freeway. And Jesus says, okay, I'll make it very clear to you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That is very clear. That's a definitive statement. And that's hard to hear, right? Sometimes. Because, again, I know people who worship nature and of things, and Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one can come to the Father. We don't break into heaven. We don't sneak in. So we come to the part of the sermon where we have to say, like, okay, Sean, but so what? Like, that's a lot, but where do we go from there? Because that's a punch in the gut a little bit, right? Well, the reality is, we are never too anything to tell people about Christ. Because really, the people of this world, let's say we, are all searching for truth. And the answer is, you have it. I told you to open your Bible, right? You have the truth right there. They may miss the signs of, like, you walk outside and you see those beautiful mountains. You're like, man, there's got to be an intelligent design creator. They may miss that. But if you're intentional in what you do, they're not going to miss you. Because the reality is, we're never too anything to tell people about Christ. We're never too retired. We're never too young. We're never too, say, recently baptized. What's your too? Because we have to go to the places where we don't want to go. We're never too what? We have to take Christ into all the things that we do. If Christ has put you on a baseball team, then you need to take Christ to your baseball team. If Christ has put you in a secular job, you need to take Christ to their secular job. If you know, like I say, if Christ is taking you to shop at Safeway, you need to take Christ to Safeway. Or Dollar Stretcher, fill in the blank. You can, Walmart. So I ask you, what is your two? What's the thing that's stopping you from talking about Christ? I'm too tired. I'm too what? Because the reality is, it is a big ask, right? But God understands our struggle. And Jesus gives us encouragement in this. Again, we read some of the verses about encouragement earlier, but Jesus actually gives us encouragement in John 15. This is, you know, again, later in the Gospels here. He says, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. If the world would love you, if you belong to it. Again, if you were all on the highway to hell, the party, yeah, the world's going to love you. There's no issue there. That's not hard. Jesus says, but you're no longer part of this world. I chose you to come out of the world. So it hates you. Because the reality is, you may lose, again, a friend, a family member, because you tell them about Christ. Did Jesus' family all believe him while he was alive? Did all of his friends and disciples trust him fully, or did they scatter when he was killed? Did Jesus feel the sting of betrayal? Because again, we see this, that Jesus loved Judas so much and cared for him so much that none of the other disciples knew it was him who was going to betray him. Jesus felt this sting of rejection. Jesus is not asking us to do something that he doesn't understand or hasn't done himself. Now, many of you have chosen this narrow path. Many of you have experienced these things and have given up many things to follow Jesus. That's awesome. That's great. But just like we mentioned earlier, that the goal of this narrow path is the relationship that God wants with you and wants with your coworkers, your basketball team, your football team, your baseball team, fill in the blank. He wants a relationship with them as well, and perhaps he's using you. Because just as he tells Thomas, I'm going away to build a place for you. A place that is for you, your friends, your family. Guys, there's not a population limit when it comes to heaven. That's another wide belief. This world and everything in it is temporary. But God invites us to the eternal. Because likely in the beginning of their sermon, again, the game of Would You Rather has two options. And the reality is, God doesn't play games when it comes to salvation of your soul and the forgiveness of your sins. So I'll give you the question again. Would you rather take the narrow path or the wide highway? What's something that you can do this week to lead people off of the highway and to Christ? Because that narrow path is like a trailhead way out here in Wallowa County that you're not going to see it if you're on the highway. What's something that you can do to take someone off that highway and to that trailhead and say, walk with me on this narrow path? Because we're inviting you to something that's more than temporary. If you're wanting to take that narrow path today, I invite you to fill out a connection card. Let's talk. Don't leave today and miss those big signs. I actually want to invite you back next week, because Darren's going to be talking about further in Matthew here. He expands on this segment of what is it to be a true disciple of Christ, and how to identify false teachings. Because, again, it only comes down to two answers: the highway to hell or the narrow path to heaven. And it's not a party on the highway. It's a party in heaven, guys. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up here. I'm going to pray as we close out our sermon today. Think of what you can do to combat that too in your life. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Jesus being here. Jesus coming and offering the truth that there is only one way. We pray for those that we know, that we personally know, who are not on the narrow path, who are seeking temporary worldly things that are not going to give them the fulfillment. We pray that we have those hard conversations with people for love, to be a peacemaker. And we pray that for those that are still following that highway, that we can be an example to wherever you have placed us, to point others to you. We pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.